You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Welcome back. Final hour has arrived. It's been a busy one, starting it off with Nate Oates a couple of hours ago. He's been there a couple of years, the Alabama basketball coach who wrapped up the SEC. But it was Andy Staples that really got a lot of people going when he said, when he doubled down on a comment made here 6 years ago, that Georgia is the best football job in the SEC. Let's get some more reaction to that coming in. And Danny is up next. Hey, Danny, go right ahead.
Hey there, Paul. How are you today?
I am well. Hope you are.
I'm great. I just want to say, you know what? I think legend is 100% right about UGA. I am a Georgia grad, and UGA is satisfied with being good, not great. At a top five season at Georgia is excellent, and it just gives us everything we need to do to have off-season chatter about why we did not get into the playoffs. And yet at Bama, if you didn't win the national championship, that's like you cannot even stand it. And it's just an entirely different level, you know, between I didn't win the national championship and I didn't get into the playoffs. Totally different. And legend is 100% right about calling Georgia out. And I take it.
Thank you, Danny. Appreciate it. Augie is in New Orleans. Hello, Augie.
Hey, Paul. I would drop the references to Sherlock Holmes quotes because it's just not resonating with your...
I'm going to send legend... cheerleader, a few of my old classics here.
You know, I live not far from Baker Street in London, just off Marylebone High Street. Yep, for 3 years. And Baker Street is, you know, there's not really an address for Holmes's shop, but they have a little sort of museum in the area. It's next to Regent's Park. But that's not why I called.
By the way, I'm envious of you. I've been to London once, and I really liked it.
Lived there for 3 years. It's a great city. I think it's kind of going downhill a bit since.
Well, yeah. But it has a couple of really big issues, like, you know, survival.
I was there during VE Day. I got to experience VE Day 50 years later in
London,
which was pretty cool.
No, it's really cool. You may have heard me say my grandfather on my father's side is from London, so there was always that drive and desire to get back there and see what it was all about.
Well, you need to go back. I don't think you could live there and do the show for 3 years, but hey, you never know. They might love
you. If you gave me someplace in Europe to do the show from, London would not be number one on my list.
It probably wouldn't.
I don't know about you, Northern Italy, maybe?
You know, I lived in southern Italy, and I lived in Sardinia. So that was a pretty interesting experience. But the north, definitely, do not live too far below Naples, below Rome. It's pretty tough. But
okay,
Andy Staples, Paul, legend kept talking about a guy named Scott Griffith. Who is that?
He is a Birmingham broadcaster.
Okay, I didn't know him. I thought it was maybe Mike Griffith. But So Staples, if you listen to what Staples was saying, he was saying that Kentucky's a great job, but you don't want to do too much. Because if you do, you set the expectations too high, and people will expect you to keep repeating. So the key is to win, but not win too much. Do you think if you were Staples' boss, you would have a psychological profile into his background maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's
I want to be a good writer, but
no,
I don't
know.
No,
I mean, I'm not going to go off on my own DNA here, but it's I'll keep quiet on this one.
Well, I have to agree with a lot of the other callers. I bet Georgia is a great job because they do tolerate the kind of things that I think Georgia probably shouldn't tolerate. At this point, you would expect them to have at least won the SEC recently, and they haven't. I mean, and they're always at the top of the recruiting classes. They're in the SEC East, which is definitely weak, so it's not like playing in the West. So I agree that Georgia's got to be a great job if they're going to allow that kind of stuff to go on. And, Paul, you need to get – remember Andrea Gallo, the reporter from the –
Oh, yeah, from Baton Rouge.
Advocate. You know she's been sued by the state attorney general.
No.
You need to get her back on. This LSU story is really developing into a lot of – it's like going back into the bayou. It's a lot of muck and mud coming out of this. And, yeah, she got sued. The editors for The Advocate had to come to her defense because she filed a Freedom of Information Act request, and the state attorney general is suing her. So you can tell there's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, and if I understand correctly, Augie, isn't that report due any day?
You know, I'm not actually sure.
I think
it
is.
I think there's a lot more to this story than meets the eyes. Yeah, the report, I think, on Darius Geis and a couple of the others, I think that's coming out. I don't know about the whole – I think this report's in, like, five or six different segments.
No, but, Augie, we've had – since November, I felt like this was a ticking bomb, and I still do.
Well, I think you've got a new – headline reporter on your hands here. I think she's got some.
Well, I will say this about her. She was great when she was on the other day. I really don't know her, but I obviously know Brooks very well, her compatriot. Thanks for the call. Robbie's up next in North Carolina. Hello, Robbie.
Hey, Paul. Really good to talk to you again.
Thank you.
I want to talk about Andy's comments. I think maybe some people are misunderstanding what he was talking about. I know legend said that he said that Georgia was a better program than Alabama. I don't really think that's what he was saying. He's talking about 2020 and all the demographic changes over. I'm from Atlanta, and so after the Olympics, that city totally changed. Went from a small southern little regional city to, like, it just blew up. And so now there's 6 or 7 million people there, and Athens is 45 minutes away from
sure.
that. So I think what he's talking about is the potential. Now Alabama comes in and they take a few players or quite a few players, but Georgia is right in the middle of that. And I think we've had some probably pretty bad coaches and. But we don't have the politics that some of the other programs have.
Yeah, I mean, to me, and I know this sounds Atlanta is an international city, but I don't think Atlanta is a factor if mm-hmm. you want to go to the University of Georgia. I mean, Athens by itself is a
sure.
great city, and it has
right.
it has everything that I mean, if you're
yeah.
painting or cobbling together a tapestry of the quintessential mm-hmm. college town in America, mm-hmm. you're looking at Athens, Georgia.
You are. But Georgia per capita puts out more elite recruits than basically any other
sure.
state. Now, California or Florida may have more quantity, but Georgia's usually the fourth best behind, you know, California, Texas, and Florida. But per capita, you're just right in the middle of a hotbed of
location. So. Yeah, it doesn't hurt to have you know, one of the greatest airports in the world right around now. The only problem is just, you know, navigating Atlanta traffic.
Right. Well, I think that's what Andy was talking about.
So that would finish me off.
I mean,
talk about 45 miles, but that's. I've made that trek from Athens to Hartsfield dozens of times, and you're taking your life in your hands. We will take a break. Seth Greenberg coming up here in a few minutes to look ahead to the end of the basketball season this week, the tournament's next, and then obviously the March Madness beginning after that. He will join us right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back. Final week of the regular college basketball season for men. The tournament's summer already beginning. And who better to talk to than Seth Greenberg, part of College Game Day, part of literally everything ESPN does with college basketball. And Seth, it's always great to have you. And here we are. We've made it to March.
It's amazing, Paul. You know, I was just talking to a good friend of mine driving in, and he said, you know, 3 months ago it was doom and gloom, and we're never going to make it. We're not going to have games. Games are going to be canceled. Sure, they're going to be canceled. It goes back to my three P's, and I said, you got to have multiple plans. You got to have patience because things are going to happen, and you got to have protocol. And because we followed those three P's, all of a sudden we're right at the finish line. A credit to so many people, the players, obviously, the administrators, the coaches, the universities, the officials, all involved. A lot of sacrifices have been made. But, you know, it's been an interesting season. It's been a fun season with some teams emerging, some surprising performances. But, hey, we're in March, man. It's March.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Yeah, no, and I mean, and you know, just think about this time last year, and I know what you were going through and everyone was going through. I mean, there was already some anxiety. Next week is when it all came apart, and it happened fast. This year, they're just, it's for the first time, I don't know, you tell me. It just, I feel like there's a lot of optimism, not only in the country, but particularly in the sports venue.
Without a doubt. You know, like last year at this time, I still remember walking through the airport in Charlotte. It was Duke, North Carolina. The game ended. We drove to Charlotte, took the last flight out of Charlotte. And there were a lot of people wearing masks. And, you know, I knew a little bit about what was going on, but it didn't kind of register with me. We came back. We did the first opening about to the start of the ACC tournament. All of a sudden, we get a call like this thing is done. And I still remember talking to Mark Few that night. And, he's like, you know, how can they do this? Wait a second. You know, can they find a way? Obviously, we were all uneducated on the severity of the situation. No one was overacting. The decisions that were made saved thousands and thousands or tens of thousands of lives. But because people took a step back, saw what happened with the TBT, saw what happened with the NBA, found ways to get through a college football season, we're here. And, you know, thank goodness we're here. No one's been severely impacted in terms of their health so far from what we know. We've had a number of pauses, a number of teams that have multiple pauses. But it's March and the madness is a week away. So it's incredible. And it's a testament to so many different people. I have so much respect for the commissioners. I have so much respect for the administrators. I have so much respect for the team, doctors, and the counties that all these schools are associated with, making sure that we're doing it in the safest possible manner. But we're going to have a March Madness.
Speaking of that, Baylor lost over the weekend. Gonzaga still at the top position. Just in terms of the top of the heap, what's the separation between Gonzaga and everyone else?
I think it's Gonzaga, Baylor, and Michigan. You say, wait a second, Baylor just lost. They played poorly against Kansas. You know, Paul, here's the thing, and you watch that, I think, in football. There's a difference between contact tracing and actually having the virus. I talked to Tom Izzo. While I was talking to Tom Izzo, we were watching actually the Baylor game together. And he said, you know what? I see our team in them. I said, what do you mean you see our team in them? He said, we had a large number of players that basically came down with the virus. When they came back, they tried hard. They wanted to play well. They wanted to be in the moment. They just weren't able to. We saw it happen with Louisville. We saw it happen with St. Louis. We saw it happen with Richmond. That's just to name a few. That Baylor team, that didn't look like anything like the Baylor team we saw all season. They were a step behind. They weren't as alert. They couldn't compete for as long a period of time. Their legs weren't there, so they didn't shoot it. They're a 45% three-point shooting team. They couldn't shoot it. So I'm not worried about Baylor. And they might lose to West Virginia this week. But that doesn't change my opinion of them. They were the best defensive team I've seen since that UNLV team of 89-90 that won a national championship. That's how good they were defensively. They got the best backcourt in college basketball. So I think they'll be back. They'll be fine. And that Michigan team is terrific. You talk about being different. Two point guards, 2'6", 7", and 6'9", what I call hybrid forwards. And then the immovable object, Hunter Dickinson. And I think Juwan Howard is the National Coach of the Year. So I've got those three separated. Illinois and Iowa, a little bit behind them maybe. But those three, to me, have really separated themselves from the field.
Speaking about candidates for National Coach of the Year, Juwan Howard certainly has been phenomenal. We had Nate Oates on at the top of the show, and you know, they wrapped up the SEC. Although last week at Arkansas, they got exposed a little bit. Your thoughts on the Crimson Tide right now?
I really like their team. I mean, you know, obviously style of play. If they can impose their style of play on you, they're going to be really good. I think a little bit, and in a different way because they play fast, but a little bit like Villanova. Villanova shoots 45% of their threes, shots from the three. Yesterday, they shot 7%. They lost to Butler. When you're so reliant on a three-point shot, it's not just shooting the threes, but how you get the threes. If they shoot first side threes, unless they're in transition and step in threes, there aren't good threes. When they get that thing swung and get a paint touch and then kick it out, they're really good threes. I like Alabama. I don't love Alabama. And I don't love Alabama for a couple of reasons. I like their style of play. I think they compete hard defensively. I don't trust John Petty. I think he's been up and down. Right now he's in a downward spiral a little bit, not seeing as big a basket. I worry about that. I think that, you know, at the key to their team to me is Herbert Jones. And I want to see him healthy, where he's playing that dynamic style where I think he's the SEC player of the year. I think he's the toughest matchup in the league. I do like their ability to make shots. I like their depth. I think getting Bruner back is important. I don't see them as an Elite Eight team. I see them as a Sweet 16 team. And I know the Alabama people don't at me. That's just my opinion. I'm not saying I'm right. If I was right, I'd go to Vegas and I'd bet a lot of money on it. That's just my feeling.
And that's one thing we love about you. You're not shy about your opinion. Let me ask you about the next team that we were getting a million calls about and comments about, and that's what Eric Musselman's doing at Arkansas. What are your thoughts?
I'm on the Mus bus. I like Mus's team. I like Mus's team for a couple of reasons. Vanover stretches the defense, which opens up the floor to allow Justin Smith to play in the paint. I love the way Davis is playing. The freshman gives him a high-energy guy. Obviously, Moses has been absolutely terrific. Moses Moody has been terrific and dynamic. Defensively, they can impact you a little bit more maybe than Alabama. And I know Alabama's numbers are a little bit better, but I watch how a team defends and how they disrupt. I think they've got an interesting combination because they do invert their offense. When Justin Smith plays to his strengths, which is running the floor, rebounding the ball, being relentless on the glass, and then playing from the foul line down. He's a physical front court player that very few people have. Surely a physical front court player that Alabama doesn't have right now. I think Mus has done a great job, and I like the spirit of their team, and I like the spirit of Alabama's team, but I really like the spirit of this Arkansas team.
Seth, I'll just throw the next four at you and just, you know, pick and choose how you want. In the SEC, Florida and LSU that are going to get in the tournament. But Tennessee and Missouri are very intriguing in terms of they've had both had great moments and they both have had terrible outings. So what about those four?
First of all, I'm higher on Missouri than I am on Tennessee right now because Missouri with Jeremiah Tillman is just different. I mean, he's different. I mean, he's learned how to play without fouling. He gives them an inside score that can put pressure on the defense. Tennessee doesn't have that. You know, Fulkerson's a nice player, but he's not a guy you can play through. That's just not who he is. And I think people are unrealistic in their expectation of him. when I look at Tennessee, when you get 43 points from your two freshmen, Johnson and Springer, you know what? Those other guys got to step up eventually. You get 43 points from your two freshmen and no one basically steps up. They're just not consistent enough offensively. Viscovi hasn't given them the leadership that I would have liked to see him give them. I just can't rely on them offensively. And in a game, maybe even like against a mid-major team that can really shoot it, if you can't score, they're in trouble. So I'm not as high on Tennessee. I'm higher on Missouri because of their ability to play through the post. I like the veteran guards. I like Kanzo in an NCAA tournament, relying on his defense, relying on their physicality, relying on their maturity. Now, LSU is the interesting one because they got three pros. They got three pros. I mean, that's just the way it is. Watford, Smart, and Cam Thomas are pros. And if they ever really made a commitment on the defensive end consistently and improved a little bit of their shot selection, I'd say, you know what? They're a team that could make a run because they can score it. But for some reason, they pick and choose when they're going to play. And when a team picks and chooses when they're going to play, they don't advance in the tournament. They just don't, because you can't pick and choose when it's a single elimination. They're not playing their best basketball. I thought about a week ago, they kind of, the light bulb went on because they defended a couple games in a row at a higher level, but I just don't trust them. I love their talent. I think they're really talented, but I don't trust them as much as maybe others. Florida, I think they've overachieved. I think Mike's done a great job with their team. I mean, think about the tragedy they went through and what they had to witness. Even though Kenyatta is with their team, I look at them and I like the way Appleby's playing. I like the way Mann's playing. Obviously, Castleton's giving them some inside scoring. I like the kid Druji and his energy that he plays with. This team looks more like a Mike White team than any team he's had at Florida, because they make you react to him. So I actually like this Florida team. I thought that their resilience the other day, coming back after a slow start, is a huge step forward. If they can get Scotty Lewis to be a little bit more consistent, then I'd really like them. But I do like the Florida team. I like what Mike's doing with the team, and I think that they've got a great trust within their team. I'm really big on teams that have a good spirit. Like, you know, I'm watching this Florida State team, even though they lost the other day. I like their spirit. I like how they support each other. I saw Oklahoma State beat Oklahoma this weekend. Cade Cunningham had 40 points, but I like their spirit. I like how they stick together. I like how they appreciate each other's successes. It's not just about Cade. It's about the other guys. You can see him enjoying the rest of the team's success. They enjoy his success. Those are the teams I buy into this time of the year, because this time of the year, the pressure's up. And if you don't deal with the pressure of the tournament and a single elimination, all right, the reason being most times is you don't have that great spirit. So I'm going to go with the teams with a good energy and a good spirit.
And finally, you know, there's two games this week for all the leagues and then the tournaments next week. What do you watch for? Because in trying to determine a team's run, there are a lot of components. You've already laid out many, but the last glimpse of a team, what do you want to see?
I want to see an 8-man rotation. I want to see guys champing in their roles and not being caught up. I want to see guards do three things. And this is a really simple thing, and this is kind of one of my big things now. In tournament time, your guards got to understand good shot, bad shot. Your guards got to understand risk reward. You got to make good decisions, and your guards got to understand the flow of the game. If you have guards that understand good shot, bad shot, so now all of a sudden they're not taking bad shots and giving up transition buckets because your defensive transition is connected to a bad shot. Risk reward, make the right play, make the simple play, don't make the hard play, so you're not turning over at a high level. And then finally, understand the flow of the game. What I mean by that is you've got to get a feel for the pace and flow of the game. If you can own it, number one, that's huge. Number two is if you have a guy that's got it going, or if you've got a situation where maybe the other team scored back-to-back baskets, you've got to understand that we got to score, we got to get to the line. So what do we got to do? We got to get the ball reversed. Maybe we got to get a paint touch on a pass or a dribble. All right, and we got to get the right guys shooting the ball. So like that last week, and that ties into guys playing to the strengths, showing what you can do, not what you can't do. I'm really looking at the guard play. Good, bad shot, risk, reward, flow of the game. Because if you get those three things from your guards, and probably the fourth would be a commitment to guard the ball, you're going to be in pretty good shape. So that's kind of my barometer on as I watch championship week. The teams that buy into that, I guarantee you the teams that I'm going to be excited and I'm going to be picking in my bracket. And then maybe I'm wrong. I might be wrong. And if I was right every time, I'd go to Vegas.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction?
Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
I'd love to go to Vegas with you. Nobody better than Seth Greenberg. Thank you, Seth. I know you got a busy schedule. We really appreciate you dropping by.
Appreciate you, Paul. Thank you for having me.
Wow. What an analysis there. We always appreciate his time. Nobody better than him. We are up against a break. We will come back. 30 minutes remaining on a busy, busy Monday afternoon, about to be Monday night. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back. It's nice of you to join us here. Final few minutes of our show, and let's check in with Cleon, who is up next. Good afternoon, Cleon. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you doing, Paul?
Quite well.
It's always great to hear from you.
Thank you.
Hey, sir, I wanted to talk about, in retrospect to the best coaching jobs in the SEC.
Yes.
And I understand I love, you know, your picks, and I understand Alabama is the creme de la creme. But I was thinking more or less of Arkansas, and I'm going to tell you my reasons why.
It's okay.
Because of all the other states that it borders. You know, you have your Missouri, your Oklahoma, your Texas, and your Louisiana. And he has done such a remarkable job of just taking what he had, and those guys are run through the wall for him. I mean, don't get me wrong. I would love some five stars. Don't get me wrong. But just the remarkable job that he has done. And, of course, it doesn't hurt to have Walmart and Jerry Jones money. I mean, great facilities. I think, if I'm not mistaken, one of the number one places to live is Fayetteville. So I would just think about all in all. I understand, you know, whatever the guy was thinking about Georgia. But I think, I'm not saying that Arkansas is going to win next year, you know, but I know those guys will run through a brick wall for him now, and I think they're ready to play some football.
Thank you, Cleon, very much. You made one specific point that I agree with. Northwest Arkansas is home to three Fortune 500 companies, and that is a significant boost to a, you know, it's not a small area by any stretch, but usually college towns don't have that type of feeder system, and you know, Walmart speaks for itself. But you have a Fortune 500 trucking company there, and you also have Tyson Foods. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it very much. Let's check in with Greg, who is in Georgia. Hey, Greg. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Greg, I am doing well.
Well, let me go ahead and do this first for Legend. You know why Legend always wants to talk about Georgia and how we supposedly suck? Is because Legend's worried about us because he knows we come. And I want to tell you something, Legend, and I want you to hear me loud and clear. Enjoy your ride, buddy, because I'm going to tell you something. We coming. Let me tell you one thing. Yeah, we ain't won a damn national championship since 1980. Vince Dooley was there since 64 to 1998. And Vince's first championship was in 1980. You are correct. But let me tell you something, Legend. Them times are fixing to change, so you can laugh all you want to, little buddy. Enjoy your ride because your time is coming to an end. You hear me? And, Paul, thank you so much for taking my call, brother. I love you.
Thank you, Greg. Man, this interplay between Bama fans and others is getting interesting. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We still got a little time left. Let's check in with Greg, who is up next. Hey, Greg. Greg, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Well, good. You are on the air. Great to have you on.
Okay, Paul, I was wondering about Larry from Tuscaloosa. And then the other question I had was about Jim Donnan. How come he don't coach no more?
Well, thank you. Larry from Tuscaloosa is he's doing better. Larry's from Shelby County. We talked to him not long ago. As far as Jim Donnan, Jim is very busy these days, supporting his family and his grandchildren. And you know, I think he just last coached. I'm trying to remember what year it was. It's been almost 20 years, I think. So. It's been about that long, and he had a great career and is a Hall of Fame coach. Happens to be a great friend of ours here on this program, but I think he's just moved past it, and he never got back in. He did a lot of commentary. He's also a close friend of Kirby Smart. Kirby played for him, and he's extremely close to that program. His voice is heard in Athens. I can assure you of that. Thank you very much for the call, though. Let's check in. A lot of reaction to Legend tonight. Crook is in Georgia, and you are on the air.
Thank you, Paul, for taking my call. Been a long-time listener.
Thank you.
And I love the show. But what I wanted to say is that crazy Legend, that boy's bread ain't done. He don't know what he's talking about.
What specifically, Crook, did you not like of his phone call?
He's always putting down Georgia, and he's so full of Alabama he can't stand it. He's a typical ex-inmate. They don't know when to shut up.
Yeah, I don't know that many ex-inmates, but I'll take your word for it.
Exactly. Just mouth, 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 talk, talk, talk. I'm telling you, the boy's bread ain't done.
I appreciate that very much, Crook. So I take it you and Legend aren't going to be having any conversations anytime soon.
I wouldn't think so. I sure wouldn't want to talk to him. Now, Larry from Alabama, he's a good old boy.
Yeah, I like Larry.
But Legend, yeah, Larry, I love him to death, but Legend, he's at the bottom of the barrel, buddy.
Well, thank you, Crook. I must tell you, even though I've spent all my life in the South, I'm not sure I've ever heard that phrase, his bread's not done. I think I know what it means.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.